Okay, so today we're going to do Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis. We started Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis yesterday. The plan is Be'ezer Hashem to finish Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon or come close to it today. I don't think I remembered to print out all my notes, but we'll do what we can. So we started yesterday on the definition of Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis, and what we left off with was whether it needed to be a Kli Shemlachta Le'iser in order to first be, in order to then become a Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis. And we pointed out, just to quickly chazer and make a few ha'aros along the way that Ephraim shared with me this morning, as we quickly chazer the last few points that we said yesterday, based on the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat Ches, the Shmir Shabbos paskins that anything a person is kaveh lo makom machmas erko harav, it's very valuable, and therefore you kaveh makom. So shalol l'taltul, so you don't move it out of that place. Shemi yiskalkel, because maybe you will get ruined. Kigon, the Shmir Shabbos gives the example shaon kir, a wall clock. Tmuna emunotit, a nice painting. Shemakbid aleha. That's a Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis. You're not allowed to be metalted. He adds, v'chein aron kaved, a heavy closet, sha'adam nizor shelo letalted, a break front, that you're careful not to move, mimakomo, shemi yiskalkel ekev atiltul, because sometimes some of these heavy pieces of furniture, when you move them, will break. The sliding things on the bottom will break off, or you'll apply too much pressure on one of the legs, and that will damage it in some way. So, muktzu, va'asul etaltulo. You move a bookshelf, and very often you hear things creaking and cracking that shouldn't be, right? So that's you're afraid to move those things. But if you have a break front or a swarm trunk or something where you have doors in the front, you can open the doors because those aren't Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis. Or says the Shmir Shabbos, v'cheina din legabi mekarer hareu muktzah avu mutul v'tavchil sosav, that a refrigerator is muktzah because you never ever move your refrigerator, so it's muktzah. You're kaveh makom, you're afraid to move it, you leave it there, but the doors are not going to be muktzah. So there's what to question on many of these phrases that the Shmir Shabbos just sort of threw in there. He's suggesting a picture or a clock hanging on the wall or a big closet, right? Let's go through the examples. A picture, meaning a painting, a clock, a big closet that's designated in this place, and a refrigerator, that they're all Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis. So in the back of Sefer Tiltulei Shabbos, which is Rabbi Pinchas Badner on Muktzah, it's interesting. There are two English Svarim on Muktzah. They're both very, very good. There's Rabbi Badner and there's Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn. The Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn in English is called Halachos of Muktzah, I think. No, it's called, what's it called? Muktzah, a Practical Guide. Rabbi Badner's is called Halachos of Muktzah. But the Hebrew title for Simcha Bunim Kohn's is? Right, Hilchos Muktzah, and the Hebrew title for Rabbi Badner's is Sefer Tiltulei Shabbos. So I was looking through my notes. I have no idea which sefer I'm quoting, because like I don't know if I'm translating the Hebrew title or translating the English title into Hebrew, because they sort of cross over in their this one is Rabbi Badner went to Rabbi Moshe and asked him all of his Muktzah Shailas so that he could publish his responses in his sefer. So in the back of Rabbi Badner's sefer, he has all Rabbi Moshe's shuvas, and they're all printed in the Gros Moshe now. A long tshuva to Rabbi Badner with one by one going through all the shailas that he asked him. So he has this very, very brief tshuva where Rav Moshe says that a painting on a wall is not considered muktzah because it's there for decorative purposes only, and therefore it's not muktzah. Now, what does that mean? That because it's there for decorative purposes, that it's not going to be muktzah. So if you look at Rav Moshe, it seems that what Rav Moshe is saying is that we normally use kviyas makom as a barometer of how protective you are of the item. Meaning, normally, when you're koveya a makom yuchad for the item and you leave it there always, it means that you're trying to protect this item. And because you're trying to protect this item, that's why you leave it in that spot and you don't move it around all the time to different places. So the shaila that was asked from Moshe is, you take a painting, you take a picture, you put it on your wall, you leave it there always. So is that an indication that you're super protective of that item and therefore it's Muktzah Machmas Cheshbon Kis? And Moshe said, no. there's a reason you leave it where you leave it. Where do you leave a painting? If you have something like a fur coat or something that's put in storage in the cedar closet with the, you know, the smelly closets. I don't know, we used to have one when I was growing up in my basement. We had one of those smelly closets where they would store. So, you know, if you're doing something like that, so you're putting it in a special location that is protected from moths and whatever else. When you put a painting on your wall, you're not protecting from anything. You're just, the wall you put it on is where it will be most seen, where you think it's most appropriate for it to be seen. My wife and I were just in Israel not that long ago, and she wanted to buy something, a new painting. So she bought a new painting of Kriyas Yamsuf or something. Always trying to upgrade our wall things to Judaica stuff. So nice thing of Kriyas Yamsuf. So the cheshbon is, which wall will it be seen on? Where will it make the biggest impression? So that's what it's about. It's just about decorating the house. It's not about protecting the items. So that's what Rav Moshe seems to be saying. It would turn out, yeah. So if it happens to be something that you're also, meaning, that's what I think Rav Moshe is saying. I don't think he's saying that paintings are automatically not muksa machmas chesrum kis. I think he's saying the fact that you're kaveil a makom doesn't make a muksa machmas chesrum kis. You're going to need something else to make it muksa machmas chesrum kis, namely, that you'd be very nervous about moving it. Meaning that when you move it, you're going to hire special art people who know how to move art and package it properly and whatever, as opposed to when we put up the painting of Kriyas Yamsuf, the last piece of art that was on the wall was a picture of like the Eiffel Tower that we bought in Costco, you know, 20 years ago for $100 or something, you know, so we took it off the wall, first offered it to Yona, they said no, and then I don't know, it's behind the couch somewhere. So that is not muksa machmas chesrum kis. We don't, by the way, if anyone wants a beautiful painting of the Eiffel Tower that may or may not have been bought in Costco, if you have bare walls, and that, you know, it was good enough for us for 20 years, so anyone, you know, for free. If you don't mind me, bringing it in my Hyundai and not hiring someone to, you know, special transport. So I'm saying, so that wouldn't be muksa machmas chesrum kis. Moshe is just saying that that the kviyas makom is not an inyan when it comes to the art, because it's just being put there. So you can see, you put a wall clock up in the wall, that's not muksa machmas chesrum kis. You're not afraid to move a wall clock. I think he's disagreeing with the Shmir Shabbos about the wall clock. No one's afraid to move a clock that's on the wall. It's just you want it in a place where everyone could see it, where it's easy to see if I'm going overtime in shiur or not, right? That's that kviyas makom doesn't make a muksa machmas chesrum kis. On the topic of art, just one more ha'ara about art that Frank pointed out to me this morning. We had a little bit of a disagreement about the Archos Shabbos talks about the following. Maybe you, I'm going to leave it up to you. You'll tell me what you think. The Archos Shabbos says the following. What if you have a piece of art on the wall, or a picture on the wall that is, people keep bumping into it, and it's always crooked. In my house, when we walk in, so there's this nice big picture of the Kotel on the left side, and on the right side of the kitchen door, there's a picture of our four, or not anymore. They used to, I don't know what's there now. There used to be, oh, there's a family picture, right? There's a family picture of from somewhere, I don't know, one of the bar mitzvahs or something, right? Yeah, so there's a family picture on the right side. So it's in a spot, a high traffic area. So every time people walk by, they often just bump it with their shoulder, their elbow. So very, the picture's never straight, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, it's always crooked. So I'm constantly going over and straightening out the picture. I never take it off the wall. I never actually remove it. It's this, you know, big picture that looks like it's printed on glass or something, or metal, I don't know what it's made out of, but it's I never take it off the wall, but I'm always moving it in one direction or another. How does that affect its muksa machmas chesrum kis status? Meaning, I wouldn't move it, I don't want to ruin it, I'm very careful not to ruin it. So I wouldn't move it around too much, I wouldn't schlep it around with me, because it's a very valuable picture to us. We don't want it to get ruined, we don't want it to get dented or chipped or anything, but I'm always moving it. I'm just moving it to tilt it in the right direction. Does that mean that it's yes, muksa machmas chesrum kis, not muksa machmas chesrum kis, or somewhere in between? What are you taina? No? Svara.
It's not, because you clearly don't care enough, or you would put it in a place that was more protective.
I mean, by virtue of the fact that it's always getting, that it's always, it's obviously not so well protected. Okay, I hear that, Svara. Good. What else? But it never falls.
Yeah, but you
can't. Okay, watch, well, I come home tonight. It'll be like in a million pieces all over the floor. What else? Any other svaras? Meaning, what it boils down to is you have something that you wouldn't just freely be metaltel. You wouldn't just move it around whenever you feel like moving it around. But there are ways that you move it around all the time. Meaning, it's not something that you never move. You move it all the time. And it's not l'tashmisho hamiyuchado or anything like that. It's moving it all the time.
Why isn't that what's miyuchado? Meaning, it's supposed to be a picture that looks nice. So you're making sure that it looks nice.
Way,
a shochet is going to use the shechita knife all day. Someone's going to move this picture all day to make sure that
I hear. So what Ellie's suggesting is, that's probably what Frank's probably right. So right here, that's pretty good. So meaning, just like a shochet uses a shechita knife all day, and a mohel uses his mila knife every day, they're not afraid to use it. They use it when they have to use it. So the function of art on the wall is to make sure that it looks nice. And if it's not looking nice, I straighten it out. So that's not considered that I'm metaltel it outside of its normal usage, and therefore it remains muksa machmas cheson kis.
You don't want it to be crooked. I mean, you don't want to end up in a situation where you have to fix it. And
right.
So it's not like that's the normal usage. It's the idea, but you have to fix it. So, you
know? Meaning you say that normal usage has to be. I don't know, but normal usage is to put it back to be straight. No, but I dafka put it in a high traffic area because that's where people are going to see it. So I dafka put it in such a.
No, meaning. To go back on the opposite. It's a raya for both tzadim because you know that it's not going to fall. You always leave it there. So right. Clearly it is safeguarded.
What I was thinking was the opposite until I realized I was probably right. What I was thinking was the opposite that if you metaltel something all the time, not for its tzorech, but you metaltel it carefully. Or you metaltel it in a certain way and not in another way. Let's say I have an item that I lift all the time. I'm always makpid to lift it with two hands. I don't lift it with one hand. So is that muksa machmas cheson kis? No. Meaning, as long as I'm metaltel it all the time, there's no, like, you don't get to draw a separate geder of muksa machmas cheson kis that I'm metaltel it not for its ikar tashmish all the time, but I'm metaltel it in a certain way. I would have thought that if this is not called Tashmish HaMiyuchado, which was the impression that I was under till Ellie just convinced me otherwise, that if it's not called Tashmish HaMiyuchado, and I'm metaltel it all the time, granted I'm not metaltel it by taking it off the wall, and I'd be nervous about doing that, but I'm metaltel it all the time, so then it's HaMuksa Machmas Chesun Kis. Because I'm metaltel it all the time, meaning, let's say, take a klisha melachto l'isra, like a hammer. Let's say every time I take a hammer, I don't throw it on the ground or throw it in the water or, you know, that's not how I'm metaltel it. I don't juggle it. Meaning the way I carry is I carry it carefully, not to drop it on my toe, not to, you know, to be careful that it shouldn't break. Every time I carry a glass, maybe I'll carry a glass carefully. I'm not going to, you know, carry seven at a time because then I'm nervous. That makes a muksa machmas cheson kis. Of course not. That's just a regular kli that I'm metaltel. No, that's what I thought, but I hear this taina that's called the tashmish miyuchado to straighten it out. I'm still not sure, but I hear it.
Is the purpose of the picture to straighten it? Meaning the purpose of the hammer is
the purpose of the picture is to look nice.
Right.
It looks nice when it's straight.
Meaning it's to be looked at. It's not like
right, but to be
adjusted.
To make your house look nice, and it looks sloppy, and it doesn't make your house look nice when all the pictures are crooked. Right, that's the Now, Rav Vadya in Yabia Omer and Rav Yitzchak Yosef, we pointed out yesterday, bring all these rayas against the Mishra Brura that a klisha melachta l'heter can never become muksa melachmas cheson kis unless it's designated as schora, unless it's designated to be sold. Once, even a klisha melachta l'heter, once you designate it as schora, so then it could be muksa melachmas cheson kis. But if you don't designate it as schora, it's not going to be muksa melachmas cheson kis. So Yalkut Yosef just points out, and I think this is what we ended with yesterday, the efshar lomer dekliya omid l'schora shu chasolav chashiv kekli sharei osu l'istachar b'shabit kekli that any kli that you designate as schora is not a kli shemlachta leheter because by the virtue of the fact that its main use is for schora, that's melachta leiser. Its primary use it should be for iser. And therefore it helps to have a status of muksa machmas cheson kis. I was just thinking, is a toothbrush muksa machmas cheson kis? Do you ever use a toothbrush for anything but brushing your teeth?
You don't care. You buy a new one at CVS the next day.
No one cares about it? I don't know. People are personal about their toothbrush.
Maybe an electric
toothbrush. An electric toothbrush? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, we're going to discuss that. Does it have to be valuable or just have to be something that I don't want to have to go to CVS to buy a new one? It was just Pesach. Once a year, I buy a new toothbrush. And that's, you know, it's like the reminder. It's like the smoke detector reminder when they change the clocks, right? So Pesach comes, I buy a new toothbrush. It's too soon. I'm not interested in buying a new toothbrush. It's going to be a hassle. I don't have time to go to CVS. One of the Smicha students once said to me, I always quote this, Rebbe, I don't have time to buy shampoo. I don't have time to go to CVS and buy a toothbrush. Tuesdays. Yeah.
You're not so motivated to avoid using it outside of its normal function, lest it be focused in its value.
Yeah, sure I am, because I'm not going to want to use it on my teeth if I clean my toilet with it.
But it doesn't have to rise to the level of cleaning your toilet with it.
Or cleaning anything. What else would it be usable to clean? I'm cleaning anything. I'm not going to want to use it on my teeth after I clean out, I don't know, anything. That's what it's valuable as a brush.
It's got it as a drum. I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Right. But no one does that.
You could.
But people would use a toothbrush to clean out jewelry, you know, like or something like that. That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't use your toothbrush for that. Is a toothbrush a klisha machdaliyasa to begin with? Meaning whether something has to be a klisha machdaliyasa, so that's totally on everything else we lived the whole year, right? Whether a toothbrush is a klisha machdaliyasa. So it has a series of ramifications, because if you hold that something needs to be a klisha machdaliyasa in order for it to be muksa machdaliyasa chesrum kiss, and you hold that it's also to brush your teeth on Shabbos, it could be that your toothbrush has become muksa machdaliyasa chesrum kiss.
I just remember, for the list of things, like the phone book,
yeah.
Like a passport counts as one of those, because you only use it when you're going to fly.
Yes, yes, good, good. Okay, we'll get to passports also in a different context also. Okay, so anyway, so Yakud Yosef says that anything that's miyuchal the schora, anything that's miyuchal, I'm getting sidetracked here, anything that's miyuchal the schora is going to be automatically klisha malach lisser, and therefore muksamach mas chasron kiss. That is derived from the Ramah, who says that kelim that you set aside for schora are muksamach mas chasron kiss if you never use them during the week. A lot of people have like stores in their house where they sell, like gifts that you bring with you when you go for Shabbos somewhere, things like that, you know, little trinkets, little things. So a lot of people have these, these basement kind of stores, like every house in Flatbush has like this, right, where, if you pay with kesef, you don't have to pay the meches, you know, that kind of operation. So a lot of people have these stores that are in their house. So all this stuff that's there in their basement is muksamach chesrum kiss, and that's true even if you want to use it for its designated purpose. Meaning, you own a store that sells plates, china plates, and you're not allowed to use them even for your Shabbos meal. So the Mishmaru explains in Sivkat and Zayin that if you're not too careful with your merchandise, and you would use them from time to time during the week, meaning it is something that you wouldn't mind using. You have a toy store, you don't mind customers playing with the toys. You have a svarim store, and you allow customers to peruse the svarim, right? People sometimes want to see the table of contents, and they want to take a look at a piece or two. That's how they say Rav Avadya Yosef, when he was younger, had no money. He would just go into the svarim stores and just read cover to cover, and the mocher svarim realized that this kid was unusual, and probably it's kedai to let him do his thing. And that's how he memorized all those svarim. By the time he died, he had probably one of the biggest svarim libraries in the entire world. But, people would buy him stuff. But when he was younger, that's how he... So it was svarim, so you don't mind when people do, or glassware that could be cleaned perfectly and no one will ever know that it was used. So that would not be muksamach meschesrum kiss. So that's what Rav Simcha Ben Kohn points out, Rav Fine pointed out to me today, that the idea of schora becoming muksamach meschesrum kiss needs to go through that two-stage process. Because to take something that is not mukta and turn it into like etzim vavanim, offer vavanim, it can't just be that it's valuable. It has to be first that it's at a baseline level of mukta, that it's a klisha malach to the iser, and only then you can build up to that point. Yeah.
According to like the discussion in the acronym about, let's say, matzah on Erev Pesach, that's Erev Pesach Shachalis Mishavis, or
right,
in Esrog, or
right,
the discussion in the Rishonim about food and whether or not that all sounds like...
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. Let's talk about that right now, actually. So it's that. I mean, what are you saying that sounds like?
You know, food is like the Mishnah Berurah, that you can have Moksa Machmas Chesrum Kiss when it's a Klisha Malach Tala Hefer, because food is not even that.
Good. Yeah. No, it's not even a kli. It's not even a kli to begin with.
You know, there's
no muksa. Right. I mean, you don't need to have a baseline. Yeah. Right. Also.
Yeah.
Right. All of these things. Yeah.
Also, the part of the argument is that these middle level things that if they were, the only time you would use that, like the painting, is if you need to repair it, and that is an iser. So that's for that sheet that they defend from the painting, but I don't know how they defend from the food.
Sure, yeah. I just saw it.
Right, interesting. I don't know. There is, we got to look. Got to look in that Chuba. I'm sure he probably addresses it directly. The food food is unique because Shulchan Aruch paskins in Shin Yud Sif Beis that, as we pointed out yesterday, food can never become muktzah, even if it's designated to be sold, and even if you're careful not to move it during the week for fear that it might get ruined. You own a baking business. My nieces bake fancy cakes and cookies for people. So you have those, like we gave the example yesterday, you have the cookies with the Chasan and Kala's name on it or something like that. So you're careful to not use it. And the reason is people never... But nevertheless, it's still not muktzah. And the reason, the pashut reason is that nobody ever really sets it out of their minds. You know, that's the standard. You never totally put it out of your mind because you want to eat it. Meaning you're always food is such a basic necessity that that you could never be sure you're not going to be hungry for it. You could never be sure that you're not going to want it. The problem with that explanation, Rav Asher Weiss points out, is how do you deal with the esrog and how do you deal with the matzah? Meaning, for those poskim that hold that matzah on Erev Pesach is muktzah, but it's food. And those poskim that hold that an esrog on Erev Sukkos is muktzah, but it's food. So why would it be muktzah? So the meaning it's mefurish shulchan aruch that and especially if the svara is you never know meaning when you're dealing with food you might be hungry enough that you're never willing to be maksimi daito. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests what I thought was a pretty brilliant mahalich in Minchas Asher and Shabbos in Simon Mem Tes. Remember the first time I learned through I gave shiurim on muktzahs in my shul probably like 10 years ago. And I learned through all the pieces in Minchas Asher on Muktzah, very kedai, very, very beautiful pieces. So it was during the summertime, and I got a call from Rabbi Shai Schechter. Rav Asher is in Borough Park. Do you want to come visit him? I said, well, you know, it's Camp Abba now. You know, all my kids are home. I got all my kids with me. I can't. He's like, bring him. So okay, guys, put on white shirts, or not white shirts, but at least take off your Yankee shirts and put on something else. We're going in the car. Where are we going? Doesn't matter. So we went to Rav Asher Weiss. I have a picture in my office of all my sons with Rav Asher Weiss in his hotel room. Weird, but so at that meeting, a lot of interesting things happened. So one of the things was I told him how much I'm enjoying Minchas Asher and Shabbos, and that's when he told me Minchas Asher and Shabbos is a really good sefer. So it's true. It is a very, very good sefer. So the muktzah pieces are fantastic in Minchas Asher and Shabbos. I mean, you could tell he wrote like I don't know 50 svarim. He was proud of this one. That this was where Rav Asher suggests is the following svara, that food gets used the same way when you sell it or you eat it. Meaning it's a one-time use kind of thing. So when you use it, it's gone. Right? Once you use it, you're done using it. You're finished. Merchandise, it serves a higher purpose. Meaning, the reason merchandise is muktzah machmas chasun kis is that using it once will disproportionately impact its value. If you have, I have in my house, let's say I have a shtender. So I'm going to use this shtender 10,000 times before it gets thrown out. Each time I use it, is just, it loses, I don't know, a penny of value or whatever each time you use it. It gets a little more used, a little more used, a little more used, but it's all proportionate. If you take an item of merchandise that you want to sell for $100 and you use it once, right, slightly used, you ever that rack in the store or whatever, slightly used, that disproportionately impacts its value. All of a sudden it's half price, but it's going to be used 1,000 times. They only use it once. Yeah, but it's not brand new anymore. If it's not brand new, it's half price. So that's what makes it muktzah machmas chasun kis, that to use it for anything other than the schora that it's designated for would be something that would be a terrible avla in terms of the impact that it's going to have on its value. Mimela, when it comes to food, food's not going to be muktzah machmas chasun kis. Most food is not going to be muktzah machmas chasun kis because the one-time usage they use it for is not going to disproportionately affect its value. The effect of the value is proportional. Whenever it gets used, its entire value will go away. Unless you're talking about an esrog and Erev Sukkos, or matzah and Erev Pesach. How much does a citron cost on, now? If you wanted to buy a citron, Yeah, I'm sure that you go to Chinatown and you can go, you know, wherever Gabe Gross buys me my shalach matzah. Right? So you can get yourself a sitron, probably 20 cents. I don't know, probably a dollar maybe. And it could be the most magnificent esrog in the world. Meaning you're ruining the usage of it, you're ruining its value disproportionately by using it for something right before. So same with matzah. How much is a box of shmura matzah? A box of crackers, right? How much is it going to cost at this point in time? A lot less, right after Pesach. Even after the first days already, the supermarket starts slashing the prices, at least on the broken ones, right? But it would not nearly as much. So that's his svara. Ephraim showed me that in Piskei Tshuvos he quotes two shitos that even if you are makta the food, meaning Ephraim asked yesterday, what if you're screaming, you're amad v'tzavach, I don't want to ever eat this food, I want this, I'm not going to eat it on Shabbos, I'm not going to touch it, whatever, I promise, So would that make it muksa machmas chesron kis now? So there, he pointed out two shitos in the Piskei Tshuvos that he quotes that food is not going to be muksa for other reasons. Number one, he quotes a chavis das in an arsameach that since a person would give kol hon beso not to be hungry, mimela food has too much utility to ever become muksa machmas chesron kis. Meaning, it's something inherent to food. That based on the level of necessity that food is to mankind, it can't be muktzeh machmas chesron kis. I mean, it has nothing to do with your personal das of what you want or don't want or what you are you being maktzeh or not maktzeh midaito. It's just the nature of food. And similarly, but slightly differently, the Chayei Adam writes Chazal were careful when they were making these gezeros and takanos not to include food in muktzeh. The Chayei Adam recorded yesterday. Because they didn't want to shtar anyone's onuk Shabbos. So they specifically excluded it from any category of muktzah. That food simply can't be muktzah. Now, according to both of those mahalchim, an esrog l'chora should be no different. Right? It's still a food. Matzah should be no different. But Rav Asher tries to explain how there's makom in poskim to distinguish between an esrog and matzah on the one hand versus all other foods on the other hand. I thought his svara was very elegant.
The only thing I'm not copying is, right, let's say it's Erev Pesach and you're absolutely starving. You're going to eat that matzah. Your mom is starving. Then you're going to eat the matzah.
So that's the Chavis Das's argument, that you'd give kolon beso for food. So if you were starving...
Food is the most basic thing.
Well, lemaisa, when was the last time anyone you know was starving? Right?
But it's not...
Yeah, everyone claims to be starving on Erev Pesach. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, we don't know from starvation. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
The basic says that your food, even if it's a spora, like you're able to go down like snack on it, not muktzah, right?
No, that's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, that food is not muktzah, right? Question is, why are there any exceptions to that exception? Yeah, there is a simuk sabach chesron kis. Food is an exception to that. And we're trying to figure out, is there an exception to the exception? There are certain types of food, like the esrog and the matzah, that are an exception to the exception.
What about a fancy bottle of wine that when you open it, it loses value, you're not going to finish it all at once?
So that also would disproportionately ruin its value. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. An echinami. Right? Something like that. Or any food that you use for schora, really.
Rav Ashi says that.
He says any food you can use for sweater?
He says bismanazeh, when things will lose value when you open it, so...
Yeah, oh, he says the bottle of wine. Or like if you have a cake that you could sell for $200, you know, my nieces sell the... I don't know what they actually charge, because I get it for free. But, you know, they could sell for $200, and you cut one little slice off of it. You know what you could sell it for now? $0. You know, you'll offer it as a free sample or something like that. So in those cases, in Echinami. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that merchandise that you plan on selling is considered muktzeh machmas chesron kis, but only if you plan to put it back afterwards and to still sell it. Meaning, you have one of these stores that sell challah covers and all the, you know, salt shakers, you know, in different funny shapes. You know, the salt shaker's a little chef and a cook or whatever. I don't know. All these different things. And you realize, I need a challah cover. We put away our challah cover for Pesach. And we have no idea where we put it away. It happened to us one year. We have no idea where we put it away. Okay, so go to our store in the basement and take one. Now, if I'm going to put it back in the store afterwards, that's muktzah. But says Shlomo Zalman, I could change my mind on Shabbos and say, no, now this is my challah cover. And therefore, it's not going to be muktzah anymore. You're allowed to change it in middle of Shabbos. The Chazon Ish and Siman Mem Beis of Kanta Zayin argues on Rav Shlomo Zalman and says that you can't decide to use it on Shabbos. It's based on Rav Kiv Eiger on the Magen Avraham and Sivkat Yates. If you decide to this is we have to see what's behind this machlokas. But Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks you could change the status in the middle of Shabbos, take something that was muksa machlokas cheshvan kis, and not say like we discussed yesterday with Rabbi Kivega, that we don't say migu diskasay the ben shmash diskasay the kuliyoma when it comes to these categories of muksa. Question? Yeah. Now, returning to the general category of muksa machlokas cheshvan kis, the Mishnah Brura clarifies in Sivkat Zayin that it doesn't need to be expensive. Anything that you don't use because you don't want it to break, you don't want it to get ruined, you don't want it to get dirty, that's muksa machlokas cheshvan kis. It doesn't have to be something that's inherently valuable. And that's why I said a toothbrush, maybe, it might be an interesting discussion. I didn't see Poskim talk about it, but it's at least interesting to talk about because it's very, very cheap, but you don't use it in other ways because you don't want to ruin it. Additionally, Mishnah Brura in Sivkat Vav says cheshvan kis is subjective. And if you don't designate a place for something valuable, then it's not considered muksa machlokas cheshvan kis. Meaning, guys were hacking in the Beis Medrash this morning, like a few different guys came over and asked similar types of questions. You would never treat something, if you had a what would you say, a glass pitcher or something, right? That was a vase or something that was like, you would never buy a $500 vase. If you did, you would guard it with your life. But you're at someone's house and they're like throwing it around and they're they don't care and they're using it. So is it muksa for them and not, is it muksa for you and not muksa for them? So I think in that case where you're a guest at somebody's house, it's muksa for nobody. Because when you're a guest at somebody's house, you'll use it the same way they use it. Meaning you'll use their items the same way they're using their items. But if you owned that same item, then in a chinami, then it would be muksa.
Would that be similar to the case of where the Shulchan Aruch says that an ani in an usher's house would have the halachos of what muksa is the usher?
I think so. Meaning, I think that's exactly the point, because you would do whatever he's doing. In
sorry,
what?
And regarding the toothbrush, are you kovei makom for the toothbrush? Meaning, I know you.
Who? Okay. So the question. First of all, probably right.
But that's not in order to like.
To protect it, but it's in order to. Well, no, you're kovea makam that you put it in a place where it's safe not to fall into the toilet, right? You put it in a place where it's safe not to get dirty. Because you don't want it to get
that.
Dirty.
You can put that anywhere in the house for that.
But you care about it getting dirty, so you put it in a place where it not only will be accessible to you, but it also won't get dirty.
And that's called makbet also.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Just on Josh's point, but don't we hold up? You don't even need Kriyas Makom.
Right. I mean, the Kriyas Makom is not Ma'akev as long as you want to protect it. Yeah. In the Sefer Ilchus Muksa, meaning Muksa, a practical guide, in page 24, footnote 27, Rav Simcha Ben Kohen suggests Mishnah Brura agrees that it only applies to Klishim Lach Del Isser. How do I get back into that here? I don't know why I got back into that. What about a refrigerator? We never came back to that example.
That's
of refrigerator.
What?
That's
he says it on things like refrigerators and.
Ah, okay. So what about a refrigerator? So a refrigerator is a klisha malachto. The way you normally use it is a heter, right? Meaning it has to be plugged in, but it stays in your house for years, decades, and the way you normally use it is a heter. So is that going to be muksa machlokas cheshvan kis? Chaznish is machmir because you're kovei lo makom, and the refrigerator has its spot in your house. That's where it belongs. So that's enough. But most poskim assume kovei lo makom is not enough. And also, are you kovei lo makom to protect it? You're not kovei lo makom to protect the refrigerator. You're kovei lo makom because that's where it's most conveniently located. Because keeping your refrigerator in your your living room would not be nearly as convenient as having your refrigerator in your kitchen. It's not a kvius makom. So it depends what kind of refrigerator you have. If you have a refrigerator that every time you move it, you're afraid of breaking it, so in a chinami, that might be muksa machlokas cheshvan kis. But if you just don't move it, because why on earth would I ever want to move my refrigerator? It's perfectly happy where it is, and I'm perfectly happy where it is. So that's why I never move it. So that's not even called a kvius makom.
You say the same thing about a toothbrush. You know, I
I don't put my refrigerator outside where it can get damaged in the rain. It can be convenient by my kitchen. I keep my toothbrush by my bathroom sink, so I don't have to go to my living room to get off the shelf, brush my teeth.
But okay. But I'm saying the toothbrush, you're much more limited. You don't want it to fall on the floor. You don't want it to fall in the toilet, in the garbage can. Like the refrigerator, you're not really worried. If it's indoors, it's fine. You know, so you're extending it by talking about outdoors. If it's indoors, it's fine. The refrigerator's going to be fine. Maybe on a basement that floods a lot. I don't know. Yeah.
You would never take the refrigerator by yourself. As in, if you had to move it because the outlet went out in that room, you would ask as many people as you can in the house.
Why?
I'm with you because you're scared of the hefset of what's going to happen.
If that's the metzius, that's the metzius. I don't know that that's the metzius, that you're scared of the hefset. I think you're just, it's heavy.
You would never want to.
I don't know, probably it depends how good your refrigerator. I don't know. My refrigerator seems pretty sturdy, although it just broke on Yontif. Every appliance in our house broke on Yontif. It's like all at the same time. They all decided we quit. Yes.
Was I too loud? Sorry. would a fridge be muktzah machmas klishim lachta leisker if the light always turns on? That's how it's used during the week.
Oh, maybe. Interesting.
Off,
but it goes on during the week every single day.
Every single time you use it during the week, you're doing an isser. Especially, I have one of those Shabbos plug-in things that it turns into Shabbos mode automatically. So if in the old fridges, everyone would just unscrew the light bulb, and it would never be, and it was never, you know, it would never turn on. Interesting. Okay, I want to get moving a little bit. Let me get moving a little bit here. So once we can identify what is muktzah machmas chesron kis, where we're good and confused about how to identify, but once we can identify it, now we have to figure out, okay, let's say you've identified something as muktzah machmas chesron kis. You have an iPad, a laptop, or something like that, and it's on your couch, it's on your bed, and you want to move it. So now what do you do? So Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to move it l'tzorach gufo makomo, even if you want to use the muktzah in a mutter way, or if you want to use the place where the muktzah is situated, in most cases, klishim not v'lisr can be moved that way, but not muktzah machlus chesron kis. So why is that? So Rav Simcha Ben Koron in note 26 says that klishim not v'lisr is put out of your mind for usage. It's even more put out of your mind when you're concerned with chesron kis. So it becomes more prohibited, meaning it's just a higher level of muktzah because it's further from your das. So when something is this far away from your das, you're allowed to move it a little bit. When it's that far away from your das, you're allowed to move it even less. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Reish Ayin Tes, Sivkat Yudalid, that you can ask a Nachri to move L'tzorach Gufo Makoma, to move Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis, even though normally Amiru L'Nachri is Aser. What about Tiltul Begufo, or Kala Achri Yad, B'Shinoi? Are you allowed to move it with your feet, or anything like that? So we started to discuss this the other day. The Prima Gadim in the Hakdama to Mishpat Zav and Shin Ches writes, after listing all the categories of muktzah that the Beis Yosef lists, he starts off writing very humbly. He says, "Kvar yadati miut erki va'aniyusi umu'uma in biyadi midarkei aposkim. I'm a nobody. I'm not really a posek. Amarti el chalila tiule emtza das kedoshim v'Hashem yazor li. But maybe I'll start looking at this, and maybe Hashem will give me some siyata d'shmaya to come up with something." So he says, after that whole introduction, that chesron kis muktzah heid bo marana mashbir. She'ein bo shum takana l'taltel b'Shabbos. That you're not allowed to move muktzah machmas chesron kis even begufo. That there is no way to move muktzah machmas chesron kis even begufo, even with a shinoi. And he derives it from the Beis Yosef and the Rambam. However, in Tehillah LeDavid, which is written by Rav David Ortenberg, I think, late 1800s, says, he quotes the Prima Gadim and says, "Alanias daiti, davar zeh tzarach yin gadol." He says, "I don't agree with the Prima Gadim. Chesron kis can be moved using tiltul begufo." Now, the Tehillah LeDavid is quoted by Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa, and that's what he seems to paskin. But it does remain somewhat of a machlokes, so it could be that it's, you know, that unless there's a tzorech, that one shouldn't rely on even being metalto machmas chesron kis. I mean, if it's on a couch and there's another couch you can sit on, So maybe better than being metaltel legufo is sit on the other couch. If it's on your bed and you don't have another bed to sleep on, so then you rely on the tehillah of David. So let's get into some practical examples. Checks, credit cards that you don't use as an underliner or something, or a ruler, or something to keep your place. Bills that you need to keep. Stamps. I remember when my daughter was a little kid, she found stickers in my desk drawer. It was a roll of stamps, and she put them all over the house, all over her face and everything. And like each one of them is like, I don't know what stamps cost, 50 cents, 60, I don't know, whatever they cost. I'm like, that's an expensive sticker booklet. But so you normally wouldn't give your kid those stamps, those stickers to play with. You'd give them other stickers, the kind that cost 2 cents, right, to play with. Passports, they're all considered muksa machmas chesrum kis, since you only use them for their designated purpose. A gift you buy for a friend and you set aside that in order that it shouldn't get damaged, similar to schora. L'chora is muksa machmas chesrum kis. You decide after you buy clothing that you want to return them and you set them aside in order that they don't get damaged. Also might be muksa machmas chesrum kis. And again, if it's schora type of issues, even if you wouldn't normally use it for a malacha, it could still be muksa machmas chesrum kis, even if you hold klisha malach to lehetar, it can't be muksa machmas chesrum kis, because clothing all of a sudden becomes a klisha malach lehetar. What about cell phones and smartphones? So is that considered machmas chesrum kis that you're not allowed to move letzara kufa makomo, or is it a klisha malach lehetar that you are? And very relevant if you use your phone as an alarm on Shabbos. You just gave me that example, right? You use your phone as an alarm on Shabbos, so you want it to wake you up, then you want to get it out of the room, or you want to put it somewhere where it's not going to disturb anybody. Someone who's married, and they use an alarm to wake themselves up, so they don't want, and they're using their phone as the alarm. They don't want it to be blaring in their wife's ear for the next 20 minutes. So Rav Nissim Krelitz in Chut Shani writes, Machshir telephone, harehu muktza, machmas chesrum kis. Kibin shemakbidim shayishtam shabal tashmash acher. Machshiri telephone sheish po gam sha'on mistavra kivan da machshiri kari. A telephone is lina basra machshiri kari. He says, a telephone sometimes has many functions. It could not only be used as a telephone, it can also be a clock, an alarm clock, and however many other apps you have that he probably could not have possibly dreamed of. So he says, you go with the ikr tashmish of it. So ordinary cell phones are considered muksamachus chesrum kis, and you're not allowed to move them from a coma. And even if you only use the phone on Shabbos as an alarm clock, since its main function is the phone, and the main function determines which category it's classified as, so even though on Shabbos you don't use it as a phone, you only use it as an alarm clock, he thinks it's still muktza. There is a sefer called Mishnas HaShabbos, where he paskins that telephone cellulari muksamachus chesrum kis, vimbala veinamakbiralav, kigon shenos no liyaladim nechshav l'kli shem lachlis. So this is what I always thought. I always thought that it really depends how you interact with your telephone. It used to be that cell phone was muksa machmas chesrum kis because people were very, very careful with their cell phones. But some people aren't. Some people are very careful not to ruin it. They are expensive. It's just that normally you're due for a new one at some point. I don't know how it works. I have no idea how it works. But they are very expensive, despite the way many people treat them. So it makes sense that people would be very careful with them. To replace them is not so cheap. But if you let your kid play with it, then obviously you don't consider it muksa machmas chesrum kis. It would have the status of klisha malach lehetar. You'd be allowed to move letzarech gufo. So in that case, if you use it for the alarm on Shabbos and it's now bothering you or bothering your wife, so then you're allowed to move it to another room. And even if paskin that it is muksa machmas chesrum kis, there are achronim that allow, like we said before, tila david, to move it begufa or kalachar yad. So we once asked Rav Asher Weiss about this, and he thought that even smartphones are not muksa machmas chesrum kis, because most people use their phones for a million other purposes. They'll use it as a bookmark when they close a book and they don't want to lose the page. They'll just stick their phone in there. I've done that. Or to prevent papers from scattering, I've done that too. Right? You have papers on your desk and there's a fan, because my office is like 10,000 degrees usually upstairs. So I have a little fan on my desk and it blows everything everywhere. So I just put my phone on top of the papers. Rav Shechter, though, disagreed. He thought that smartphones are muksa machmas chesrum kis because you don't use it for other purposes. They're not arguing. Meaning they just have different impressions of how people use their cell phones. So, I think it really depends how you use it. However, even if you're passing that it's mutter in terms of its mutza, it could be that it could be that there's another issue, and that is your phone, as soon as you move it, recognizes that it's being moved. And you'll notice sometimes, as you're walking around with your phone, the number of bars changes on the phone. So what you're doing is actually having an impact on the phone electronically. So it has this internal, I don't know what you call it, accelerometer or something like that. It has like this thing that recognizes when it can count your steps if you're walking with your phone. It knows that it's being moved, so you're interacting with it electronically. So it could be that you have that additional issue. You know, if you bring your phone down to the basement or you stick it deep into a drawer in another room where reception is not as strong, then you're definitely causing the bars to go down and the signal strength to wane. So is that permissible? So Rav Asher Weiss has a famous tshuva by now in Minchas Asher Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Beis, and he writes, "V'nei nisbar le'el siman lamed de'beskiras ma'agal chashmali yesh chashash malacha im malachas bona lavanas chaznish v'malachas makam padish k'darkenu." He says, when you close an electric circuit, Chaznish holds its bona. He says, I disagree. I haven't told this Maka Bepatish. That he has this Yerushalmi that Chazal didn't, that the way the 39 Melachas were made, it's not that we had 39 categories and then we figured out what fits into the category. It's the opposite. We figured out all the creative activities that should be Usher, and then we said, okay, now we have to fit them into 39 categories. So 38 of the categories were easy to put things into, and whatever didn't fit into any of the other 38, we throw into Maka Bepatish. So that's how he understands. He has a Yerushalmi, then it says Makam Patish that way. It's a Chiddush. But so he says, so closing an electrical circuit, doing anything electric, is Makam Patish, because that's a creative activity. That for sure would belong in the category of Makam Patish. But he says, Amnam Nira, De'in ze ele beskiris magal chashmeli sheyeshba to'eles v'totza'a guluya haniris le'inayim al'shar chushay adam. His big chumrah, that every time you use electricity, you're violating a d'oraisa and not a d'rabbanan. His big chumrah is also his big kula. Because he says it would only have been put in the category of Makam Patish if you're doing something substantial and significant and noticeable. But if you're doing something that no one would even notice, unless you're actually staring at the bars and looking where they're going up and down, you wouldn't even notice that that the phone is retrieving the data or is storing the data of where it's being moved. You wouldn't notice anything like that, and therefore it doesn't go into any halachic category, and therefore it's heter gamur. So Rav Asher Weiss, that's a very, very important kula that Rav Asher has. Because it's as he points out correctly, that, he says, v'kol she'ataknologia miskademes miyom liyom, yu yoser v'yoser makshirim adom l'kol anal. As technology advances, you're not going to be able to move without this kula. He says, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's necessary. Meaning this kula is very important for humanity to continue, for Jewish people to continue to function in the modern world.
Sounds like it's just the opposite side of the same coin. I mean, his definition of Makam Patish is that there's no such thing as a Maisa Makam Patish. It's just anything that has a creative Totsah. So he's saying, because this isn't a Maisa, and because the only thing that we can gauge this based off of is the Totsah, and there is no Totsah, so therefore it's not Makam Patish.
That's basically, yeah.
But if you don't hold of his definition of Makam Patish, so then...
Then you have a problem. Meaning his kula is his chumrah. Exactly. Yeah, his kula is his chumrah. Okay, we saw a little bit more of Muktzamach and Chasm Kis, but we hope to finish that on Sunday and then move on to Klishon Lach
B'Liz. We generally don't hold, like things like Josh was saying, we don't hold electricity like your left or right. That's how we go like Rosh Hashanah Solomon.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And so
yeah.
You can't move your phone.
It'll be a problem,
is.
Yeah.
Everybody does that, no?
Yeah, it's a problem. Meaning, if you're older, so you move it when it's a major tzarach. The people often ask, their wife is expecting, right? So they want to bring their phone to shul. Okay, so bring your phone to shul. So I always tell them, leave it in the talis bag. So bring it before Shabbos, leave it in the talis bag. So if you're in shul, so if you can do that, you can. If you can't, and you're nervous about your wife, then okay. So
you can kick your phone, tilt the good phone to avoid that books issue if you want to discuss your kiss. You're setting off an Isser Derabbanan on a card that comes on with electricity. So that's a problem. But we'd be make because it's waking up your wife.
Yeah, that was Shane Miscave, Sigration Lo Nicholai.
Sigration Lo Nicholai, Bimako.
Makom Tsar Chola, she's a 9-month pregnant.
Okay, but if she's, wow, okay.
Yeah.
say when it comes to people using their phones, like, people will be more flippant with using their phones as a case in point. Like, most people, if they lose their case for, like, a day, they're not, like, some people at least, they're not going to be touching, they're not going to be using their phones.
Right.
Does that help or hurt you? I mean, do we say that, oh, since it's in a case,
I think
I'd throw it around with the case?
Or
do we say that the case is now, it's not considered, like, a separate body, it's a clean associate.
No, I think you're Pasha Rishon. You use the phone to Derek Tashmisha with the case.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really separate.
Like, when it comes to things that are very valuable, you carry everything in its protective case.
If it's in its protective case, probably then, yeah, in a phenomenon.
Is it proper to say that just because during the week you open a refrigerator door and the light turns on, that makes it, even according to that smart, to say that
that makes it
Kishma
Makalisa?
So you need purpose isn't to turn on a light, the purpose is to keep your food cold, the light turns on. Yeah, but that doesn't make it
so, okay, so we'll have to talk about this.
And even
if you
say that, would opening the door be, let's start a coma?
It's sort of
let's the light, you turn off the light. Let's start a kufa, or maybe the door is in the way. You want to access your food.
Right, okay.
So even if you were to hold that, it would still...
Right. It's still mutter, right. It's just
okay,
special. Why it's mutter, yeah.
I was only referring to
are you being careful with it? If you give it to your kid, then you can't say you're being careful.
That was the formulation I heard. That's
I think that's fair.
Also, is there Shir Sunday normal time?
Is there what?
Is there Shir Sunday the normal time?
Why not?
Isn't there that program?
Are guys encouraged to go? Would guys go if I made sure earlier?
I don't really know what it is. I just know there's a program.
Rav Rimon is speaking, Rav Willing speaking, and they're having all the Kololian guys speak. Different slots.
Isn't it like 9 or something?
I know.
Yeah, is it all morning? I don't know what it is.
I have to look at the schedule. I have to get I don't know.
Well, so, Rimon
I do plan on saying cheer, but I do want to go to Shai Kamenetsky's presentation. All right, we'll see. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Do you want to go merchandise that you bought before Shabbos or Yom Tov, and then on Shabbos you decide that you're going to return it?
So
that also
I
mean, the status would change also.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's on those, maybe not. Meaning, right, depends if your old status can change. Something can become Muktzah on Shabbos. No, that might have a different Shvira. We'll discuss that on Sunday.
Even if there's no actual change within
that. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Something as Muktzah after Skufo, does it need to not have an objective Shimush, or is it just something, because I was thinking about the painting, like, the painting, why wouldn't it be considered Muktzah after Skufo? I mean, it's just hanging on the wall and there's no purpose for it on Shabbos. Ephraim was saying that maybe it could be